Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I have with me Justine.
Hello there.
And it's a pleasure to welcome to VI Talk Caitlin O'Malia and Lee Cunnatat, both here to talk about the Holman Prize. Hi ladies.
Hello.
Good evening.
Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you for having us. So do you want to start by outlining what the Holman Prize is?
Sure. So the Holman Prize has been running now for, I think we're in our fifth year, and it was named after a prolific 19th century traveller called James Holman, who was blind. And James Holman did a lot of independent travel. He has a somebody has actually recently written a book about James Holman and his travels. And he apparently he spent a bit of time at Windsor Castle hanging out with Queen Victoria apparently for a little bit. So he was an intrepid traveler. And one of the things that the Holman Prize wants to celebrate is this idea of ambition and blindness kind of, you know, not being a barrier to ambition. And so it was devised to try and find people who are ambitious and perhaps just need, you know, a bit of financial support and other support as well to kind of bring their ambition to the fore and make it happen. So yeah, so that's basically what the idea of it is.
Okay, and can you tell us sort of how it started?
So the first one was run in 2017, and I think it was really a conceit. You know, is there anything out there like this for blind and visually impaired people? You know, a substantial amount of money to provide people with an opportunity to achieve something, a dream that they've always had. And so I think it was, you know, a couple of years in the making, you know, to try and make sure that it was workable, to make sure that it was global and achievable as well for people. And so in 2017, I'm not exactly sure of the numbers that they had applied, but because both Caitlin and I've only been at the Lighthouse for 1 year, and Caitlin's only been working with me there for sort of 3 months or so. So we're not necessarily involved from the ground up, but we do know that the number of applicants is increasing year on year, which is very exciting. And also the number of countries applying is also increasing. So that's really, you know, positive to see.
So what is the criteria for people to enter?
Answer that, Katie?
Sure. The criteria is you have to be 18 and older. That's the legal adult age in the States. You have to be an English speaker, and you have to be blind or visually impaired. And that's it. So a blind English speaking adult, that's all we ask.
Excellent.
Okay. With a great idea and
yes.
a super ambition that you want to achieve.
Absolutely.
And how do you market it? I mean, I know, Caitlin, you're doing a lot of outreach work, and I guess sort of through interviews like this one, but how else do you market, you know, the prize, and how people can kind of, how can people find out about it?
Well, we're on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We're working each year. We've pushed our outreach further and further. Reddit actually was a huge source of information for people last year. So we're trying to really have a presence on several blindness and low vision Reddit boards, and word of mouth, word of email. We're really just trying to push it as much as we can. So we're using every platform we have to get the word out there.
Also, one of the things I neglected to say about, you know, why we're doing it, it's about trying to change the perceptions of what it is to be blind and to have low vision. And so what you need to do when you apply, which is kind of in some respects counterintuitive, is that you need to provide a 90-second video pitch. And when this conceit, you know, came into being, you know, even a few years ago, that was really controversial, because people were like, well, you know, blind people, how are they going to do their videos? And they may need sighted people to help them. And, you know, how is that going to be accessible to other, you know, blind and visually impaired people watching them? But actually, as we've all seen over the, you know, during this year in particular, well, last year in particular, people accessing video and having to do things online and present stuff in video is very much more widely available to people now. So we're hoping that as we've all had to kind of gather these online skills and use these pieces of technology, you know, some of us have been dragged kicking and screaming into this arena. we're kind of hoping that it will in some respects make it a little bit, you know, more appealing to people, and they won't be kind of put off by the need to sort of use something that perhaps, you know, they're not necessarily that familiar with. Mm-hmm. So we're really interested to see, find out what pitches, you know, people come up with. But actually, when you think about video, you know, done well, it is actually the most accessible media for people to use, given that, you know, both, you know, it can be accessible by sighted and visually impaired people, and, you know, very creatively done as well.
And a good video really adds some vibrancy to the ambitions. You know, things read a certain way on paper, but when you hear someone talk about their dream, their ambition, their goal, it can really bring something to life, and it can motivate you to, you know, want to vote for that person. It can bring the judges in so much more than reading an application.
Definitely. So what kind of people have won the Holman Prize previously?
Lots of people. That's one thing that's great about the Holman Prize, is it's not the Holman Prize for science, for entrepreneurship. It's everything. It can be science, it can be entrepreneurship, it can be adventure. We've had winners that have traveled the world. Wow. And have YouTube videos where you can watch them tackle the public transportation in cities all over the world. We had a man from Uganda who is a beekeeper who won. Just this past year, we had a doctor from Nepal who taught all these blind Nepalese women how to test for breast cancer. So he gave these women that ordinarily would not have had a job. He trained them. He gave them a skill. And they're, you know, stepping in and helping women discover symptoms of breast cancer very early on, and, you know, potentially saving lives. So it is a huge umbrella of people. It's really just anyone's big dream and making it come true.
It's hugely empowering, that, isn't it? You know, the things you've outlined are just things that if you took something out of the air, you would never think of a blind person, you know, doing that kind of thing necessarily, would you? So that's really empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is the, and, you know, that is what we're hoping, you know, to achieve, you know, with this, is that people, you know, get the idea, and not just blind people. Again, you know, like we were saying, it's important for sighted people to see blind people doing these things, and that's why the videos, you know, they really do work. One of the criteria that we judge on is, okay, is this going to really test somebody? Is their dream going to be something that requires them to grow as a person? And are they going to have to perhaps learn a new skill or, you know, take themselves out of their comfort zones? And those are things that, you know, that is one of the things that we definitely, you know, look for in an application. So there's a tip for anybody thinking of applying.
Yeah, and while it's certainly not required to, you know, be something that will affect a community, but when we see that, you know, something that is providing a service or an experience to a community of people, that's really exciting to see as well, because like we said, it's the goal of Holman is to really change the whole perspective and conversation about blindness for other blind people, for sighted people. It's just retelling the story, you know.
Yeah. And so how does it work in terms, you know, from I guess applying to, you know, them being nominated to winning, really?
They get put through rounds and rounds and rounds of rounds.
It's really difficult to be a judge. Yeah.
It's really hard. We were both judges in the preliminary rounds last year. Yeah. And it was probably good that we were, you know, virtual, because it may have come to blows.
Yes, you could mute yourself when you disagreed with someone.
Yeah, exactly. So I think so the first thing is getting your application in, which basically is filling out a form and uploading, doing your 90-second video pitch and then uploading that to YouTube. We choose, depending on the number of applicants, I think we ended up with, was it about 40 summer finalists, I think, last year?
That sounds about right, yeah. Yeah. It was a lot.
So we watch every single YouTube pitch and we look at every single application as a judging committee.
And there was 109 initially that got weeded down to about 40 that then continued to get whittled down to less and less. So,
Exactly. It's a lot of time. And the initial judging is sort of done in-house, and then we go back to those people and we say, you know, you've gone through to the next round, and this is where it gets really, you know, you need to have thought a lot about your proposal or your Holman year. So we ask people to present a proposal, and we have a template that people fill out. We ask people to give us a budget, because it is quite a lot of money. You can win up to $25,000.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so we ask people to account for that money. So that's the limit. Now, for your project, you might not require all of that money, but so we ask people to provide a budget. And then once we have that information from those people, we then whittle it down again to the finalists. And the finalists, I think we had 15 or 16 last year. Mm-hmm. And then we interview each of them as well, so that the judges, the judging panel, the finalist judging panel, which is basically we handpick people from for people who are blind or have low vision, who are, well, all from all different walks of life, but who are people who are successful in their chosen walks of life. And then it starts, and the whole judging of those final 16 is a whole weekend's worth of work.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. Up until last year, you know, the judging happened on site. So judges would come out to San Francisco, where the lighthouse is, and do the judging there and spend time together. But of course, we've had to kind of go virtual, which has its drawbacks, but also has, you know, advantages in that you know, we can invite people from other countries and hope, you know, kind of open up the judging experience to people in different countries as well.
Yeah,
it really has opened it up a bit, hasn't it? You know, it's made us all think differently, hasn't it? I think.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to apply, if they've got a really exciting idea, or, you know, how do they go about it? Where do they get the application form from, and where do they upload their video to? I know you said YouTube, but is it do they have to have a YouTube channel, or do they upload it to somewhere that you give them access to, if that makes sense?
So they upload their video to YouTube. So, yep, you will need to have like a YouTube account, not necessarily a channel, but just a YouTube account. Yep. Upload it to YouTube and then give us the link to the YouTube. And what we do is we make a YouTube playlist of all of the applications, of all of the YouTube pictures. So you can actually go and have a look at them all in the one place. Right. And there is also the opportunity for people who are interested in the Holman Prize and perhaps aren't quite ready to apply. But if you like somebody's video, then we have a People's Choice applicant that will also go into the pool. So whichever video gets the most likes on YouTube, we consider that the most popular choice, and that will at least go into the semi-final pool.
Right. Okay.
Right. Excellent. That's great. So people can get involved. That's really good. So where do they get the application form from?
Katie, do you know the address?
Yes, I do. It's Holman, H-O-L-M-A-N .lighthouse -SF as in San Francisco .org. And from there, it will direct you on how to apply. You'll click a button and it'll take you to our online form. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'll fill out all your information and mm-hmm. where you will link your YouTube video, and you submit it and we get a notification, and then our brains explode when we have hopefully over 200 videos, we're hoping.
Wow. Oh, and you can just Google Holman Prize and it will come up as well.
And like I said, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, mm-hmm. and we're posting regularly with links to how to apply as well. So
of course, yeah.
Other search engines are available, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And when does it take place? When do you announce the winner?
Applications close on the 15th of March or March 15th, right. Depending on okay. which part of the world you're from, as I've discovered. and we generally, the process from there, we usually announce sort of at the end of July or beginning of August.
Right.
And the Holman year is from October to October. And we are extending it, or we're at least being a little bit more flexible because of the pandemic.
Sure.
In terms of that time frame. The winners who are currently going through their Holman year, you know, they're having to, you know, we're having to work with them to rethink their projects.
Because those were submitted before the pandemic really hit.
Yeah.
That definitely affected how they were able to play out their goals and their projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And we are being very flexible with that, and we are taking that into consideration for this round of applicants. That, you know, there's going to have to be some exceptions. Some things may take a bit longer to run their course.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to make sure that I say is that people, you know, we don't kind of just hand out 25 grand in US dollars and leave you on your own.
No.
You know, the whole process is about making sure that people have the support they need in order to fulfill their projects. And so if they, for example, don't feel, you know, look, this seems so out of my reach, but we can provide connection we can provide expertise. Even if people have, say, for example, never traveled before, we can help provide O&M, you know, all of these things that people might need just to get themselves started. And then we check in. So people, once you, once you win, we ask people to submit a monthly report so that we are able to track their progress. And we tend to kind of check in and make sure things are going well. And at the end of it all, hopefully, cross fingers and everything else, you get to attend a gala where you're awarded with your Holman Prize medal, and hopefully that will be happening in the next 18 months or so in San Francisco.
Brilliant.
Fabulous.
Wow.
It sounds an incredible opportunity, to say. So, yeah, get your thinking caps on, everybody.
Absolutely.
And if you need any inspiration, you can always go on to YouTube and look up previous years' submission videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely. That's a really good tip, isn't it? That's an insider tip, isn't it?
Exactly. So you're going to apply, Joe?
Oh, God, I don't know if I'm that innovative.
I was thinking, oh, I'm not that creative.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah, I know. I've got my thinking cap on, that's for sure. Well, thank you both. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You
can tell that you guys are so passionate about it as well. You really are enthusiastic, and that really shines through. It's lovely.
Yeah.
We do love it. It is a lot of work, a lot of commitment from a lot of people. A lot of work goes on in the background to make it happen. But it is a wonderful thing to be a part of. It really is. I feel quite privileged.
It really is. And just seeing, you know, the videos from people from all over the world, to put it simply, it's really fun.
It is really fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. And then beyond that, it's, you know, you get so emotionally involved with it too. So
you do. It's true. And you have your favorites, and you're rooting for them, and you want them to go through. Gosh, one considers bribing judges, but apparently that's
frowned upon.
Sadly.
Thank you both. It's been amazing to talk to you
both. Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you both.
All the best.
And to you too.
Thank you so much.